This reminds me of my first experience in radio. It was back in the early 80s.
People with disability and mental health.
There's always controversy with us.
The mysteries of the mind and consciousness.
And we might get to the bottom of something, or we might start something new.
We're going to run the gamut and we're going to have a good time.
Waking Braves. No, not Waking Braves. We're Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves?
Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves.
Welcome back to Breaking Waves for the third in this month's trilogy. We have covered fantasy and lunacy. And this week's topic, Riley, is...
Superstition.
Superstition. What's it good for?
Providing a sense of mental comfort. To indulge.
If we look to the fact checkers on the interwebs, if we go duck go, what do we come up with as a definition? There seems to be two main areas that it covers.
Yeah, so this is the Oxford. So excessively credulous belief in and reverence for the supernatural.
Ah, the supernatural, super force.
And the example they use is he dismissed the ghost stories as mere superstition. And they also offer a widely held but irrational belief in supernatural influences, especially as leading to good or bad luck, or a practice based on such a belief. She touched her locket for luck, a superstition she'd had since childhood.
A reason to dismiss somebody's thoughts or behaviours.
Yes, it appears to be often used in that kind of context, and someone might say, it's no mere superstition, it's my truth, whatever it is. No one would say that.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a way to shut down somebody else's thinking or some particular way of thinking about something. And it hails back to, if you look at the etymology of it, like most things, it goes back to Latin. But actually, in my investigations, I couldn't really find a definitive origins of superstition. I guess it comes from the need to explain why things happen. Or how things happen. And, you know, these days we've got all our disciplines of science to help us explain the world and why things happen. And it does that pretty successfully. I think it's a pretty common delusion these days that we've explained just about everything there is to know, which of course is absurd. Before Wikipedia, it wasn't so easy to get information about why things happen. And the church was the repository of information about the world and how it worked. And they had their own police force, Riley. They were the arbiters of the facts about the world. And they had their stories about how things happened. And it was... not kosher to disagree with them. They didn't like it. And, I'm talking about the Spanish Inquisition and that period of time.
So would the church then deem practices or beliefs that were not Christian, would they call these things superstitions?
Absolutely. They called anything that didn't align with their own doctrines and stories about creation and the world as being... heretical. They killed people for having alternate ideas. So we're told. This is in our history books.
We have the Spanish Inquisition, the witch burnings, the witch trials, superstition, fear, and jealousy. So, John, what are some of the first... superstitions that you remember becoming aware of as a child, And if you can remember as well, how did you find out about them?
Well, I can't...
You tend to absorb them by osmosis, don't you, these kind of things?
Yeah, I guess all the things like black cats and, you know, knock on wood and crossing your fingers, they're all just... you pick these things up without even really thinking about too much. I was brought up hanging around a lot of churches. My dad was an Anglican minister, so I was surrounded by religious doctrines, stories and explanations of things. And I guess you could call these religious superstitions. I guess it's all about having a different...
point of reference for what you're...
Yeah, it's about having a different point of view or opinion or explanation or description.
I don't want to offend anyone or tread on any toes, so I'm going to keep this next comment vague. But if you were to look at certain, or let's just say any religion of prominence, popularity in the world, say you were looking at some kind of ceremony without having a context for what this was, whether it's like a, I might throw some names out there, like a Catholic mass or something like this, and you'd never encountered this before, well, it would look pretty weird, like pretty freaky. It would look like some kind of cult, occult ritual or...
Longest question I've ever been asked.
I'm making a statement.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm basically on jumping off what we were saying before of like, it's a superstition to non-religious people. It's like, what's the difference between a cult or religion or a terrorist and a freedom fighter? And it's all relative is kind of what I'm trying to say, but.
That's right, because everybody's got their own beliefs and ideas and opinions, and we're allowed to have them, but we've got to coexist in a society that has like paradigms and storylines and narratives, normality. Right. So Riley, you didn't grow up in a particularly religious setting. How did the idea of superstition fit in with your day-to-day life as a kid?
Well, some of the ones that I remember is that sort of primary school rhyme, step on a crack, you'll break your mother's back. So I remember jumping over the cracks in the pavement.
I remember doing that. I don't remember doing it because I thought anything bad was going to happen.
Same.
No, it was just like
it's a fun thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a challenge for yourself, like hopscotch or something. And then I also remember the idea of a four-leaf clover bringing good luck. And so...
Yeah, me too. I remember spending many hours looking for four-leaf clovers, and I still do to this day.
There you go.
There's a lot of clover growing in my backyard.
Those are two that I remember with more prominence. I never went in for being wary of black cats because I am a cat lover. And I think another thing that went on for me when I was probably around 11 and 12 was that I had my own OCD behaviors, and I would call them superstitions. They're just like my own personal brand of superstition. I'll give an example of the kind of thing. It's like I had to shake my pillowcase out 12 times, otherwise a grain of sand or grit would be in it that would get into my eye when I went to bed, this kind of thing. So, and yeah, it would come down to like counting rituals, they call it.
Right, so that's a kind of, that's a superstition that's kind of trying to protect you against something that's going to happen in the future. It's
yes.
like a security sort of thing.
That's right.
Rather than dealing with something that's already happened. Like, you know, knocking on wood.
Yes.
To protect yourself.
I also remember thinking about the idea of 7 years bad luck with...
the mirrors inside. Or the
breaking mirrors, yeah.
The umbrella.
Yeah, that's one that I think of today, actually, because sometimes I will open an umbrella inside and then it'll come up, that idea. Something that I've never actually seen in real life... but it's depicted a lot in media, is the lucky rabbit's foot. And I believe it's got something to do with, like, virility or something like that.
Well, it's a talisman.
That's right. Talisman's its own little subgenre, these little trinkets and stuff.
Yeah, well, that's a very common thing. People have lucky, you know, depending, you know, religious relics, all kinds of
We're both wearing crosses, right? Oh, you've got a Buddha, is it? I've got a cross.
Yeah, I've got a Buddha, a Vietnamese Buddha.
And in a way, maybe this is a bit of a stretch, but could we say that the child with the favorite blanket or the old man with the favorite chair, it's like, well, maybe that chair or that blanket isn't actually objectively better than other ones in the house, but they believe that if they have this specific one, you know, everything is going to be all right.
And who's to say that's not the right one for them?
Mm.
A lot of the time it's really just about opinion and preference.
I would say that a big superstition that I think is rising in popularity these days is astrology. Maybe rising with, like, young people. Because if you look at the paradigms for outer space and the planets and all that, well, that model contradicts the traditional zodiacal model. So within the materialist kind of view, astrology can't be proven or, like, portrayed as, like, objectively real. And so this is why it's, like, relegated to the alternative or the dismissed as woo-woo. And yet a lot of people that would consider themselves extremely against organized religion, for them, the astrology is the religion, you know, especially for, like, a lot of young women.
Yeah, so I reckon most people who are into astrology don't look at it as superstitious. To them, it's not superstition. To them, other beliefs are superstitious.
Mm.
Their belief is true.
Yeah. That's right.
And it's really borderline. It's kind of is a religion, really. Astrology, because so much of it is not testable.
Mm.
I can't speak meaningfully about astrology because I don't know that much about it beyond the newspaper section.
Yeah. Well, apparently with the current model that we have with the outer space stuff, everyone's zodiac sign would actually be something different. Like, it's kind of, they have to be, like, shifted over or something to account for.
I don't think there's actually any proof of the precession of the equinoxes at all. It takes such a long period of time. Hey, you know what happened 27,000 years ago?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Oh, I just thought of another good one, John, as well. Have you heard of the idea that you can't say the name of the play Macbeth?
Is it bad luck?
It's bad luck if you're, like, involved in a production of it.
I think Shakespeare might be full of a lot of luck.
Yeah.
Good luck, bad luck stories.
Yeah. It's meant to bring curse upon the play to, like, say the name of the play while you're doing Macbeth, as it were.
And we, in the modern day, we would regard those ancient times and the people that lived in them as being superstitious in their beliefs and their practices, just the same way as if they could have a time telescope and look at us, they'd probably feel pretty much the same way.
Yeah. And one of my favourites as well is the unlucky number 13. Now, John, you mentioned that this is actually lucky in other parts of the world, I believe. China?
Yeah, I think a lot of these good luck, bad luck things are really different depending on where you go. Yeah, China's good luck. 13's good luck number in China, I think. Pretty sure. And also the colour red, which is like danger. It doesn't mean that at all for the Chinese as well. They love the colour red.
I love it too.
I think their brothels are painted a different colour. So, yeah, it depends where you go, really.
Something that I've heard about, although never actually seen, is this idea of, like, old hotels skipping the 13th floor and having it be just go from 12 to 13. But, of course, technically, the 14th floor would be the 13th floor under a different name. And so, but supposedly this practice was a way to circumvent the bad luck associated with the number 13.
Never knowingly been in a building that didn't have a 13th floor, but I'm sure they exist. Purely on the whim of the architect or the management, I'd say. I mean, it's really just a label in the lift on the floor, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I guess we can't bypass Stevie Wonder's contribution to the topic.
Perhaps the last word in superstition.
Yes, and probably the first piece of music that comes to mind for...
That's what I meant to say.
Pop music consumers. And apparently, after that track was released, Led Zeppelin did an answer to that, which is a song called Trampled Underfoot, which is apparently consistent with the theme, although I know the song, but I didn't know that about it.
Me neither. One of the songs that came to mind for me is a song from 1959 called Casting My Spell by Johnny Otis. And I thought of this in relation to The Lucky Rabbit's Foot, because in this song there's a whole litany of animal bits and pieces that he's putting together into this potion to try to ensure
Frankenstein.
It's a spell to ensure his lover's faithfulness to him.
Oh, Eye of Newton.
That kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. A green snake and tied them in a knot, 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 knot. I took a hawk jaw, a dog's paw, and hung them on the line, 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 line. I took a horse hair, a green pear, and made a crazy sign, 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 sign. I'm casting my spell on you. I'm casting my spell on you. I'm casting my spell on you. You'll never, never be untrue.
And if you're talking black magic, you can't go past Jimi Hendrix's Voodoo Child.
A classic indeed.
For a further dose of superstition, you can't go past Fleetwood Mac's Black Magic Woman.
And funnily enough, Stevie Nicks is a witch in real life, a high witch. Got a black magic woman. Yes, I got a black magic woman. Got me so blind I can't see. But she's a black magic woman and she's trying to make the devil out of me. You're in Hillary. Don't turn your
brewing things me, up. Don't turn your back on me, baby. Yes, don't turn your back on me, baby. You're messing around with your tricks. Don't turn your back on me, baby. Cause you might just break up my magic spell.
Thank you. lot of the traditional customs that aren't necessarily religious, but traditions maintained, they are kind of like superstitions where, at least for a lot of people in this country, like the belief has gradually died off all the time, but people still, over time, but people still maintain the tradition. I guess the example I was thinking of was throwing the wreath at a wedding and getting the single people together, and the idea is that whoever jumps up and catches it is going to be the next one to get hitched. And another wedding superstition that comes to mind is also the idea that it's bad luck for the bride and the groom to see each other the day prior or on the day. You would have heard of that one, right, John?
Yeah.
Yeah, so in spite of us being a more rational, materialistic culture now, there are certain things that we do maintain, whether we believe it or not. And you made the point, John, that tradition is simply doing something without questioning it. And I think with a lot of these superstitions, we don't we never really get an explanation of the mechanism behind how it could work, you know, how you're going to get bad luck from a ladder or a mirror or something like this, but this is where the belief aspect comes into it. And I think that people can maybe, there's also the case where people can rationally, intellectually dismiss something as a superstition, but then on the emotional side of things, they're still not going to want to throw caution to the wind and open an umbrella inside or...
Yeah, I think perhaps things have changed in that we live in a time now where everything has to be explained. And maybe that wasn't the case in the past. Maybe you didn't have to explain everything.
Mm. Have you ever heard the expression, millionaires don't follow astrology, billionaires do?
No, haven't heard that one. I know that Ronald Reagan used to make his, used to plan his calendar with,
that's right,
the help of an astrologer.
And I think, so you were alive during the 80s, like when Reagan was, so at that point, did people kind of mock him for that or see it as silly that he...
Don't know that it was widely known or made a big deal of. It was just one of those tidbits.
Yeah.
I don't remember him being widely mocked for it. Boy, look at what some of these political characters get up to.
So when you go to Wikipedia and you look at the word superstition, one of the things that's mentioned in the first preamble is astrology. So it's put into that category of something that I suppose is not valid.
Yeah, in this day and age, for sure.
In this day and age. And so I guess what I said before about like that adage that of millionaires don't follow astrology, billionaires do. So there appears to be evidence to suggest that people in this world who are deemed to be very successful follow astrology. And we mentioned Reagan as well.
Yeah, well, probably a lot of them probably do.
So it's interesting that for the masses, you know, we're kind of told that it's not true, but then...
But then it's in the paper every day.
Yeah.
It's very confusing, the whole astrology thing, because when you study astronomy, they use a lot of the same terms for the celestial bodies, you know. So you get quite confused about what you're actually talking about. You know, and astrology was the ancient science of the heavens, basically. It's been relegated to superstition now. Just another way of looking at things.
Mm.
You know, and the more we talk about this word, the less meaning it seems to have to me.
Yeah.
It's actually not a word I use very often. I don't often accuse other people or myself of being superstitious. It's just not somewhere I go.
I will sometimes accuse myself of being superstitious, but I don't like to call other people that.
Well, it's good to challenge your beliefs, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And you know that at the core of a superstition, there is really a belief. And I know there's lots of examples of supposed superstitions that don't seem to be centered around a belief at all. They're just centered around a behavior. But that's a different thing, I think. Habitual behavior is not always explainable in any logical, in any terms that make sense.
Because there was a lot of, we were just having a look at celebrities and their superstitions, and a lot of it was banal and I think helped to render the word meaningless. Like they were saying, oh, you know, this actress likes to listen to Britney Spears when she's flying to get over her anxiety around that.
And therefore that makes her superstitious.
Yeah, yeah. Or Ella Fitzgerald doing a warm-up on stage and they're saying it's a ritual and, you know.
Yeah, so, you know, we come back to the basics of our language.
Labels.
The language that we use to communicate, these buckets for ideas that we pass back and forth between each other, which we assume the other person is unpacking all those words and putting them together as you intend. And that the meaning that you intend is being transmitted to them. But in a lot of cases, that's not what's going on at all between two people who are babbling at each other. It's very interesting. I think it's incredibly overrated, thinking and language in general. And look, I know there are people, very clever people, who think that, Pinker, who think that language is the basis of our intelligence and our consciousness. There are others that think that mathematics, which is just another descriptive language, is the basis of our consciousness, our understanding, but I don't think so. I tend to think that there's more to it than that.
And on that, I would agree. I always allow for more in heaven and earth.
And so, whether you are superstitious or not, whether you concern yourselves with black cats and ladders, or
cracked mirrors
and umbrellas,
you will find that the world is a more mysterious place than what you've been told.
It's an oyster.
If you want to look.
Riley and I will be leaving you all now for a while we walk the earth.
That's right. But we look forward to the next program, and we hope stick with us on Breaking Waves.
We will be around this way again soon.
Bye for now.
You're listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The Community Broadcasting Foundation resources community-owned and operated media stations just like this one that connect people and tell vital, local stories so that we all enjoy a more vibrant, inclusive Australian culture and healthy democracy. Find out more about our work at cbf.com.au.